we've been talking a lot in the recent weeks and months about, you know, how to experience God and connect with God, even though everything around you seems wrong or seems impossible. Or even maybe you spent a long time trying to pursue God and you think you're doing a great job, and then suddenly you find yourself in the most difficult of places. And what do you do when you get there? I'm not sure what that's about. God's interrupting me. That's probably a good plan on his part. So anyway, we're thinking about transition here. How do we turn something that's not good, something that's even pretty faulty, and make something new out of it, right? How do we help people that have a challenge overcome that and experience meaning and purpose in life? And how do we do that personally this morning? Well, we can do it by trying to be a good citizen. We can do it by trying to obey the law. That's a pretty good start. But we can't do that consistently unless we have a power, a divinity in us that propels us to that. Because this never works. Following God, baptism, commitment to something bigger than ourselves never works when we're doing it out of willpower. And it never works when we're doing it because somebody else thinks we should. It never works when we're doing it out of tradition. It never works when we're doing it out of obligation. It never works when we've done it out of fear or we've done it out of some other compelling reason that isn't a desire to understand ourselves in a way that we never could. We can never understand ourselves in a way that Jesus intended us to without him there to interpret it, without him there to tell us about it, without him there to hug us into it, without him there to celebrate it with us. And so we're going to look at Acts this morning for this quick picture of this amazing moment. And don't be fooled by the Bible here and say, well, that happened a long time ago. What's that got to do with me? This is happening every minute of every day, everywhere on the planet right now. People are coming to Christ in numbers we've never seen before. In India, in China, in the worst places of persecution against Jesus, people are giving their lives and baptizing themselves in the face of death. Not death to my sin, but death to my body. And so we stand here in this place with a free will to say, I could or I couldn't. I might or I might not. And so God, help us this morning to understand the great passion that you have to be in relationship with each one of us. God, we just enter into your word, God, and know that it is life transforming. We ask you to bring it to life in a way that we never heard it before. In Jesus' name, amen. In Acts chapter 8, we read this amazing story. And I pick it up in 25. You can read the whole chapter when you go home, but it says this. So when they had solemnly testified and spoken of the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem and were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. So he got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, check your ears this morning. Can the Spirit say anything to you at all or to me at all? He that has ears, let him hear. Go up and join this chariot. Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, well, how could I unless someone guides me? I love the honesty of this guy, right?
I'm totally baffled and confused. So we'd set this stage today and just saying, you know, we're somewhere having a great time. We're in a church service and we're, you know, just overwhelmed with joy, singing songs and having fun. And suddenly, because we can hear the Spirit, right? It's just not about our physical nature. It's about our spiritual nature. Suddenly, in the midst of all that celebration and joy, and these guys back then and girls were coming out of Jerusalem, and God had just done an incredible thing in Jerusalem, and they were beginning to spread that. Their lives have been radically shifted, and they said, hey, we can't hold on to this. We have to spread it around. And so they're out giving the gospel everywhere. And in the middle of all that fun and celebration, we got to be able to hear the voice of God. And this one man hears this voice and says, leave and go down a desert road. I don't know about you, but celebration, desert road. Celebration, desert road. It's kind of a hard thing to do. A lot of going on. I'm with my people. You know, God's doing great things. I need to be here. No, you need to be on the desert road. And so a decision has to be made over here in this part, somewhere in this area, a decision has to be made. Somewhere else, there's some guy in a chariot coming from his country. He's coming from Ethiopia, totally different culture, totally different appearance. He's going towards Jerusalem. Clash with the culture, clash with the lifestyle, going there to do the traditional thing, be a part of the worship act in Jerusalem. And all they know up until now is what went on at temple, the sacrifice, all that. So this man's making an incredible journey from far away to go and do what all he knows is, I'm going to go and do the routine. He doesn't know anything about what's happened. He doesn't know that Jesus has come to earth, been crucified, has been resurrected, and now there's this incredible phenomenon taking place. He's just going to do his duty. He's going to church on Sunday morning. Doesn't have a clue. Doesn't even really know the word because he's not a part of that culture, but he's got a hold of some of the writings. And he's trying to figure it out. Something in him says, I'm hungry for more than what I know right now. My life could be better. I could be a more useful human being if something could change, but I don't really know what something is. I'm struggling to figure it out. But he doesn't just say, oh, well, I'll just keep living my life and something will happen someday. He's on an investigation. He's on a journey to figure it out. And so on this travel, he's not playing with his iPad. He's not listening to some cool music. He's looking through the word. He's digging through Isaiah. And he doesn't know anything about it. And so many times myself in my life, I've picked up the Bible and I've been in parts of it where I didn't really know, and so I put it down because I said, this doesn't make any sense to me, so what's the point? But that wasn't him. He was desperate for something more. So over here, a guy is in celebration time and having a great time, and God's doing great things. Over here, a guy doesn't know God at that level at all, has some expectation, but hasn't figured anything out. And this guy's being pulled out of his place, and this guy's being drawn into this place. And Philip goes down that desert road and he sees the chariot. And I want to just submit to you this morning that when we desire to know God, he'll move heaven and earth to meet us and to embrace us. I heard Al talk about his grandfather, and so many of us I've had the same experience that somewhere in our line, somebody said yes to God. And then our life was incredibly blessed because of that one decision. So we'd look at this as maybe one decision today, but how many more lives will this affect? Only heaven knows. And how many lives does it affect if we resist and say, oh, I don't know, I'm not sure, or I can't figure it out. This guy in the chariot had money. He had status. He had position. And he was still trying to figure it out. Why am I here? What was my purpose? What is my meaning? So Philip goes down. You can read the rest of the story. He goes down the road and miraculously runs into this chariot. And he's still hearing the voice of the Spirit. And the Spirit says to him, go and walk on alongside of that horse carriage there. And as he walks alongside the carriage, he hears the guy reading his Bible. And he's got to be shocked. He's got no clue. God's not unfolded everything to him. He's just telling him these things. Go to a desert road and walk along a carriage. Can we just be obedient? Can we just be obedient? First, we got to hear, right? You know, I'm hard of hearing. So if God's going to do something with me this morning, I've got to be able to hear his voice. In the midst of all other voices that are screaming for my attention, I got to be able to hear the voice of God. So go down that road and then go next to the chariot. And now God's speaking to him in the spirit, but now he hears the word of God confirming it. And he's got to be like totally blown up in that moment, saying like, who would have expected this? I didn't know why God was telling me to come down here, but I'm now hearing Isaiah. And he says to the man, his thought must have been, this guy must be a believer. He must be with Christ because he's reading the Old Testament. Or they didn't call it Old Testament then. It wasn't old. It was real. It was live, right? So he's reading Isaiah. He's reading the words of the prophet. So he says to the man, do you understand what you're reading? Figuring, hey, we're going to have, the good times are going to continue, right? I met another believer. Well, I'm going to get with him. Who knows what we're going to do? And the guy just honestly says to him, I have no idea. I'm just reading. I wish somebody could explain it to me. It's so amazing how God has set up people in our life every single day. Every single day I'm alive, God's trying to pull me closer to him through circumstances and people in my life. The question is, can I hear and can I see what he's doing? Or am I just going through my motions? Am I trying to find something to satisfy my life because of some deficit that I don't realize is God? And so he says, somebody needs to explain it to me. And, you know, Philip's got to be like, wow, you know, this is too easy maybe. So Philip hops up on the chariot. Like, put yourself in one of these places. Like, who are you? Are you Philip this morning? Or are you the Ethiopian? Or are you in the crowd celebrating in Jerusalem? Maybe there was other people that could have went, but only one person heard the voice of the Lord. So who do you want to be this morning? So let's say you're Philip, right? You've got to really operate like in total reliance on God. It's like you're following a compass. You can't really see where you're going, and you're in the middle of a forest maybe, and you're hoping that there's a clearing somewhere and a destination, but you don't know. You're just watching the compass and say, let me try to chart a path. And he's doing that through hearing the Spirit. You could be the Ethiopian guy. He's just going to Jerusalem to worship. But he's got these huge questions in his heart. He's got a desperate need to know God at some level that he hasn't been able to achieve yet. Which one do you want to be? Maybe you're the Ethiopian. You're traveling through the desert. It's risky. You're wealthy. You don't want to come upon robbers or strangers. And some weird guy starts walking alongside your chariot. And you're going to just, like, invite him up. Hey, come on up and let's talk. I don't think so. What's the chances of that? Not many. But if you're desperate to know God, and if God sends somebody in your path, maybe you make a different decision. Well, he did. Some of us make a different decision. Some of us say, no, you look funny. Or you're a different race. You're a different culture. You dress funny. We don't think I'll talk to you today. If you're Philip, you're saying, God, this, like, where's Jews? We're the people, we're your people, God. We don't interact with other people from other lands. This is not normal. In fact, we really have no value for people other than those that look like us, that act like us, that worship like us. So I'm not getting near that chariot. I think I'm hearing you wrong today, God. I'll just keep walking. Maybe it's a different chariot with somebody that looks like me, talks like me, acts like me. We think that wouldn't happen, but it happens all the time. We think we would be different. But we're not always being honest with ourselves. Philip goes up on the chariot and begins to talk to this man. The Bible doesn't tell us what the total conversation is. It does tell us that he began to talk to the man and tell him that Jesus was the Lamb of God that was sent to overcome our sin and sent to renew us and sent to bring us new life. But it doesn't say anything that he said anything to him about baptism. It doesn't say that he said, you know what, too bad there's not water here. We could baptize you right now. Because it's not about necessarily the functionality. It's not about the procedure. It's not about a tradition. It's about a heart interaction this morning. It's about moving from death to life. It's about moving from not knowing to knowing. It's about moving from where I was. It's about having the past renewed and the future restored to its perfect destiny. And so, as he's having this conversation with Philip, it's eerily like the example that happened at Cornelius' house, right? I won't go into that, but you know, Peter went down to his house and there was so much theology that really had to be discovered before we can really get intimate with God, right? And Peter starts to talk, and in the middle of his talk, he didn't even get nearly started. All of a sudden, God breaks out in Cornelius' house, and the rest, as they say, is history. Because when we have a desire to God, to see God, to meet God, to know God, he goes way beyond our expectation. Way beyond our expectation. So they get to this, they're traveling along, and all of a sudden they go by this pool of water. And the Ethiopian guy says to Philip. Now the way we would do this is we'd say, okay, Mr. Ethiopian guy from the Queen of Ethiopia. There was something else I didn't tell you. If you wanted to get baptized and you wanted to make a public declaration of Jesus in your life, there's a pool of water there. We could do that. The Ethiopian guy says to Philip, hey, there's a pool of water here. Why couldn't I be baptized? When you ever talk to somebody and you got a schedule, an agenda, and you're talking to them and suddenly they blow you up by just being so open to what God's ready to do. Because when we have a hunger, or when we have a deficit that is burning in our heart to be filled, God moves heaven and earth to meet us there. Philip looks at him and says, hey, that's a great idea. Why didn't I think of that? We want to theologize people. And they want to be connected to God. They want to meet Jesus as authentically as possible. And that's what this is all about. This is about saying, I've said something in my mind. Jesus is my Savior. I've said something with my mouth. Jesus is my Savior. But now in front of public witnesses, I am going to make a prophetic declaration that my past is over and my life begins anew. And that is the single greatest transformation we will ever have in this natural life. That moment when we go into the water, which represents the grave, and we come out resurrected in the power and the presence of Jesus Christ. I heard a testimony just the other day. A young man that led a very challenging life, and the interviewer is asking him, so what's the transition? When did you have a transition? And he starts to talk about how he came to faith, but he talks specifically about baptism. And he said, something happened to me when I went in that water. Something transformed me. I came out a different, something was lifted off of my life, and I suddenly was free. I grew up with a church background. We didn't really hold through it really good. My family wasn't consistent. I got way off track. But when I went into that water, something shifted. And that something is the power of resurrection that's available to us this morning. So as these candidates come, what may look like a ceremony becomes this transformational prophetic act that says, I'm now aware of my eternal existence. I'm now aware of the love and the care that God has for me personally. He wants to meet me here on my desert road. He wants to explain and show himself to me. I no longer have to be confused. I no longer have to be wondering. I no longer even necessarily need someone to come in and help me understand what it means. I can go directly to him now. In fact, I can have him in me. He could be with me, and I could live life with him.